a ton of content out there, and if you don't know where to start, it can be overwhelming, even paralyzing. So let's fix that. Welcome to Simply Cyber, a community of tens of thousands of aspiring and active cybersecurity professionals focused on networking, knowledge sharing, and professional development. I'm Dr. Gerald Osher, Chief Content Creator at Simply Cyber, inviting you to get the answers to your cybersecurity problems with hundreds of cybersecurity videos answering your frequently asked questions, interviewing industry experts, and live streaming daily cyber threat briefings hosted by me. Now get the stories and insights you won't find anywhere else. Hit subscribe now and dig into all the fresh content on the channel and in the community. Nothing should stop you from launching and leveling up your cybersecurity career today. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the party. Today is Thursday, April 25th, 2024. This is episode 608 of Simply Cyber's Daily Cyber Threat Brief Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Gerald Osher. And over the next 45 minutes, me, you, Kenyon Izzo, Kerry, Cyber Hamburglar Medine, Senfilis, Anthony, Marcus Kyler, and the Yeet Crew, all of the Las Vegas contingent like CJ, Carlos, Christina, and so many more folks over on LinkedIn like Jenny Roberstad, Logan Fuller, Raymond Cruz, mods like Jesse Johnson, BSEC, Zombie Guy, Justin, guys, so many wonderful people, Simply Cyber Squad members alike, long-timers, first-timers, guess what, guys, we're all going to be shredding the top cybersecurity news stories of the day, and I'll be giving my expert opinion and analysis on each of those stories on what it means to you as a practitioner, so like, how can you use this information to drive cyber risk reduction for your business stakeholders, or, hold on, bonus time. If you're looking to break into the industry, you're going to get massive value out of the stream because we're going to cover the topics of the day. We're going to be introducing concepts like threat actors, APT28, Sandworm, Nicole Pell-Ross book. We're going to get all up into it. And by the way, spoiler alert, you will be asked in any single cybersecurity job interview, how do you stay current on the industry? I promise you, this right here, hold on, this guy right here, this is the chef's kiss answer to that question. So much so that if you answer it with the Daily Cyber Threat Brief, the interviewer may reach across the table and just give you a really strong, firm high five and be like, hashtag Team SC. And then you just like wink at each other. Maybe there's like a sparkly sound effect in the background that you overhear. Right? What's up, Stefan Turblash? Love that blue badge on you. Guys, it's going to be an epic day, okay? We got a great show for you coming up. Before we get into it, I do want to say shout out and love to the stream sponsors, starting with my good friend, Eric Taylor, Casually Joseph, the whole crew over at Barricade Cyber Solutions. Barricade Cyber Solutions is dedicated, hardcore, to helping businesses from cyber attacks and recover from all. Cyber attacks, they cause massive issues. They just wreck businesses. And can I just point out for a hot minute, if you're a small business, you may not get a chance, a second chance, if you get hit with ransomware, if you get hit with a cyber attack, okay? Small businesses, they run lean, y'all, okay? But Barricade Cyber Solutions, they know how to mitigate the damage done by cyber attacks. Believe that. Give them a call, barricadecyber.com. They can yeet a threat actor out the environment in a hot minute and get you back up and running. So much love to them. Also want to say, Total love and support for the entire Simply Cyber community, guys. I do not prep or research for any of the stories that we're going to be going through today. So you're getting my raw, you know, initial reaction. Essentially, what I like to do is simulate that you, me, James McQuiggan at 35,000 feet, Tom Bishop on the boot, LeGrotte, Alpha Sierra. I like to pretend that we all work at the same business and we're coming in for the day. Some of us have sippy cups of coffee. Some of us just have regular coffee cups, right? And we're sitting around the coffee cooler talking about, hey, did you hear about what, you know, Lockbit did? Or Jesus, did you see this legislation that came out? That's what we're simulating here. No one's doing like massive research on the way into work and being like, oh, I'm going to be the smartest cookie in the break room. No one's got time for that. So let me just take a slug of coffee. This will be my first sip of coffee. You may actually see the metamorphosis as I shed my cocoon of like, I don't even know, like, fuzzy brain and become the sharp-witted Dr. Gerald Osher. Right now, I'm kind of like quasi-Jerry guy. Holy hot, that's hot coffee. All right, guys. I do want to say shout out and love to also the stream sponsors. May I May I just say shout out and love to the stream sponsors. You guys know I've been working with Delete Me for a hot minute here, and I've been loving it. Let me just tell you guys, as a person who exists publicly, I share my opinions and hot takes every single day, right? Sometimes we're busting jokes. Sometimes I'm saying things about TikTok, or I'm saying things about, I try to keep the show apolitical, but you know, occasionally my own views and beliefs do creep into the show. And I'm hyper aware of my safety and security. I have kids, I have a wife that I love, and unfortunately, where I live is easy to find on the internet if you spend a few minutes, if you're decent and OSINT. So I recently found a solution that is a service called Delete Me, and it's pretty great, actually. Delete Me is a subscription service that removes your personal info from the largest people search databases on the web, and in the process helps prevent potential ID theft, doxing, and phishing scams. It's that extra layer of protection that gives you peace of mind to know that basically peckerheads out on the internet aren't going to come after you. So when you sign up, you tell Delete Me what data you want deleted, and they go off and take care of it. I went for the high roller package and put all of my information in there. And I'm happy to say that Delete Me does all the hard work, basically outsourcing managing my online privacy. So guys, take control of your data and keep your private life private by signing up for Delete Me now at the special discount for Simply Cyber listeners. Today, you can get 20% off your Delete Me plan when you go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber. The link is right there on the lower third. And use promo code SimplyCyber at checkout. The only way to get 20% off is to go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and enter. Hold on, let me bring up the actual website. You guys can actually see on stream like what I'm talking about. Boom. Okay, ready? The lower third's there. This is what the website looks like. Right, go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and use the promo code SimplyCyber at checkout. Literally, guys, the only way to get 20% off, it's like free money, is to go to joindeleteme.com/simplycyber and enter code SimplyCyber at checkout. JoindeleteMe.com/simplycyber. Thank you, Delete Me, for A, sponsoring the show, but also for friggin' protecting me and my family. All right. Oh, hold on. We got some info here. Phil Stafford mentioned here every morning in the interview earlier this week. That's why I'm in the next round of interviews. See what I'm saying? Phil Stafford dropping, what do they call that? Trust? No, authority? Social proof? Whatever it is. Phil Stafford getting interviewed, dropping daily cyber threat briefing. High fives inbound. Nice job, Phil Stafford. You know what I hope, Phil? I hope you get the job offer and then you decide, sir, whether or not you want the job. Right? Don't forget, you're interviewing them too, Phil. All right, guys. Hey, every single episode of the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief, including episode 608, which is where we're at right now, is worth half a CPE. So what do you do with half a CPE? Well, you let them stack up like burgers at that burger place out here in Vegas where you can get like 50 different, you can get 50 patties on it. I forget what this place is called, but it's nuts. You can literally order a double cheeseburger, triple cheeseburger, a dodecahedron cheeseburger. That's probably not mathematically accurate, but you guys picking up what I'm putting down. Jeremy Williams smells when I'm stepping in. You know what I'm saying? Jeremy on the boo-boo bus, good to see you. Hey, CPEs, say what's up in chat. Grab a screenshot, right? I will say someone reached out to me and confirmed you cannot, at least for CompTIA, you cannot get CPEs before you get the cert, right? So if you were to get your Security Plus tomorrow, you could not get CPEs for this episode, okay? But guess what? You should just show up on the regular anyways. What we're doing here is wicked fun and wicked awesome, and you don't need... The CPEs is just frosting on the cake, bro, okay? It's not the reason you're here. If you're here just for CPEs, like, that's awesome, but come on. CISO series. Come on, we're not ready for you. We're not ready for you, CISO series. Pump the brakes, bro. Jesus. All right, so let me just tell you guys... If you are a regular here, #TeamSC in chat. That's what I would do. #TeamSC in chat. Grab a screenshot, and there you go. You're off and running. Stay tuned for jawjacking. I will be doing jawjacking. If you're a first timer here, if this is your first episode, if you're Alvin, if Alvin didn't show up yesterday, okay, his daughter was sick. If Alvin's here, it's his first timer. Drop a #first timer in chat. I'm literally in a hotel room at 5 a.m. in Vegas screaming, waking up neighbors on either side of me and below me, okay? Viva Las Vegas. That's right, Jamie. All right, Rex with a super chat. I'd like to take a quick sec to ask everyone to send some positive vibes to loving old doggo. Today's chemo treatment 3. Oh, Jesus, Rex. Dude, sending good vibes. Thanks for the super chat. I do love dogs. I am such a sucker for dogs. Oh, I love dogs. Big dog family. We got two ourselves. All right, guys. If you're a first timer here, just like Maria Nall, hold on. Squad members, if you could, please drop the John McClane welcome to the party, pal, so we can welcome our new friend, Maria Nall, into chat. Maria, I don't have the sound effect button, so you get a manual version. Welcome to the party, pal. Love it, love it, love it. All right, as the first timers trickle in, we will definitely welcome them with open arms. Yes, sir. All right, guys, do me a favor. Stay tuned. Listen, we've got Thursday's Dan Reardon, aka Haircut Fish's meme of the week, which is hilarious. Really, really funny. We've got the Flare.io video premiere at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time dropping today. So we're going to get into that. And obviously jawjacking at the end. And the party keeps on going. We got Slay Security Plus tonight at 7 Eastern. With special guest DJ B-Sec. So I'll be doing jawjacking. DJ B-Sec typically does it Thursdays, but we're platooning it today, so we're all good. All right, guys, do me a favor. Sit back, relax. James McQuiggan, you can recline your chair in 3A on the airplane you are on right now at 35,000 feet. The rest of us, just get comfortable, get your coffee. James, lower your tray table and put your coffee cup there, and let's get into it. Sit back, relax, and let's let the cool sounds of the hot news wash over all of us in an awesome wave. I will see all of you at the mid-roll.
Series, it's cybersecurity headlines.
These are the cybersecurity headlines for Thursday, April 25th, 2024. I'm Rich Straffolino. Chinese keyboard app flaws exposed. Last year, researchers at Citizen Lab found that the popular Sogu Chinese keyboard app failed to use TLS when sending keystroke data to the cloud for typing predictions. This opens the door to potential spying on typed content. In a follow-up, the researchers discovered that virtually all Chinese keyboard mobile apps had the same flaw. The researchers found a lack of TLS in apps from Baidu, Tencent, and iFlytek, as well as ones pre-installed on Android devices sold in China. The only device tested without the flaw was one pre-installed on a Huawei device. The researchers say the ease of exploiting this flaw likely means it's been exploited at scale in the wild. The researchers contacted the app developers, and the majority fixed the issue before publication, although it's unclear if pre-installed Android apps would receive an update.
Okay, a couple things here. James McQuiggan dropping 10 squad memberships on people, James. Thank you, James McQuiggan, and to our 10 newly minted squad members, Robert Rittenhouse, ask me a jawjacking and I'll pull it up on stream, okay? Robert, and I'll let you know. It's guys, I'm telling you, this cup is legit, right? If you like coffee, no heat transfer, super clean, easy to pack, super lightweight, and yes, it is the Simply Cyber Sippy Cup. James, thanks for the squad memberships. Hey, almost every Chinese keyboard app has a security flaw. When I first saw this, I said, flaw or feature? Right? So, but as the story goes on, again, I don't research these stories in advance. So, as the story went on, apparently this is in every mobile app that's a keyboard app out there. So, obviously, they're all borrowing from the same library, if I had to guess. So two things here, okay? First of all, you might immediately think like, uh-oh, Chinese public, Republic of China authoritative regime. Like, oh, because basically this is a keylogger. The data is not encrypted when it goes out to the cloud. You can easily adversarial in the middle attack. Like basically, you know, think of unencrypted wireless or Telnet or HL7 if you work in healthcare. Like basically this is 1994 data transmissions where you can just like be like the guy in the heavy metal movie. If this is a wicked deep ref that no one knows, but like open up your nose in the heavy metal movie, run that vacuum cleaner, draw a big old line of data and just suck it all up. Like that's what's going on here. But it doesn't mean it has been exploited. This is one of those things where it's a vulnerability that has been discovered. There's no encryption of the data transmission, which means it's ripe for exploitation. Now, they don't have evidence of exploitation, but let's be real, okay? Let's be real for a second. It's absolutely been pilfered in many, many instances. Now, you might say, like I said a minute ago, oh, this is totally on brand for China and authoritative regime. Let me tell you, they said the only one that didn't do it is the default instance on Huawei devices. Huawei, as far as I know, is like banned in America. Like, again, I might be overstepping that, so walk me back, Chad, if I'm wrong. But Huawei is not sold in America because it is seen as like, you know, basically an extension of the Republic of China's federal government. And they're the ones who are using encryption. So if you're picking up what I'm putting down, this is even more evidence to indicate that this was not some wholesale federal government, like devious minds putting, you know, locking their fingers together like Mr. Burns talking about excellent. It just seems like this is, if I had to guess, there's a vulnerable like library somewhere or a library that did not implement encryption correctly. Maybe they had it and they didn't use it or whatever. And all of these keyboard apps are inheriting the same libraries. And, the keyboard apps are like, oh, like, look it, we can do retro synthwave vibes or, ooh, we've got like edgy glyphs, right? It's not about the actual functionality of opening a network, socket and sending data to it, right? That part's handled by an inherited library. And I think that's what... Again, I didn't do the research. This is, the story doesn't go into it. But if I had to guess, as a complete nerd, that's what's happened here, and that's why it is. Also, now that they found the loophole, they didn't mention fixing the hole or closing the gap, but I would assume that's going to happen.
Threat actors plant fake assassination story. The Czech news agency CTK reports that an unidentified threat actor accessed its website to publish a fake story. The story claimed that Slovakia's Security Information Service prevented an assassination attempt against newly elected Slovak President Peter Pellegrini by Ukrainian nationals. The fake story was published in English and Czech, but did not get distribution to further CTK clients. Researchers at Mandiant previously tied similar spoof stories to the Belarusian-affiliated threat group Ghostwriter, but there's no indication so far of their involvement here.
All right. So, I mean, obviously the Slovakian guy is not dead, I would assume. Oh, it's not even that he was assassinated. It was an attempt to assassinate. All right. So, a couple things here. One, fake news story being planted, not just through social media, but actually attacking the media service and then transmitting that. You know, I mean, we do live in a more distributed world nowadays. Back in the day, like, you know, pre-internet, like, you know, or pre-social media, right? So, like, let's say 2010 and before, right? Tom on MySpace changed everything. Hey, Tom, hey. Listen, before that, you basically would go to the evening news and, like, that's where you would get your information. That's, like, why Walter Cronkite was considered a staple of Americana. It's because, like, that's where you found out what the hell was going on. Sorry for swearing. Okay? So nowadays, like something like this, this would have been way more impactful 20 years ago. But fake news being planted, this guy's fine. I don't know, like, what kind of disruption this would cause if Slovakia president got assassinated. Slovakia has a boost in pro-Russian Prime Minister Robert Fico. Pellegrini said he would oppose sending the country's armed forces to assist member state if they attacked Russia. So basically, this is just like I'm not a Slovakian person, so this is a big Russia, Ukrainian, NATO, BRICS, proxy. Like, this is a super geopolitical thing, okay? Enduro emblem, if you want my thoughts on the TikTok stuff, definitely stay tuned for jawjacking. Hey, really quick, so this is like a whatever story, but I do want to share one particular thing. Okay, I got to put the mic down. If Chris Rock is here, he shows up occasionally. Chris Rock from Australia, not Chris Rock from the Oscars slap. Hold on. It's hard. I don't have like a mic boom stand. Listen to this right here, okay? This right here, this guy on the right is Chris Rock, okay? Chris Rock, super awesome. If you see a conference, usually DEF CON, where Chris Rock is speaking, he doesn't speak very often. I think the last time he spoke was like 2019 or 2000, Yeah, 2019. I think it was pre-COVID. So he doesn't do it often, but when he does, oh my God, I love this guy's research. He's so awesome. Anyways, this right here, I'm going to drop a link in chat. This was his talk from DEF CON 2017. I was very, very fortunate to be in the front row. This is before I knew Chris personally, but I was in the front row for this talk. He's appointment viewing as far as I'm concerned. Anyways, he talks about how to do a coup and overthrow a government. And he actually was involved in overthrowing the Kuwaiti government during the Arab Spring in 2012. But just push that to the side for a second. One of the things he talks about is if you're going to take over or overthrow a government, you need to control things like the finances, the ISPs, and the media outlets. Because if you can control the news, you can shape the narrative and shape opinion of the population and basically light the match and throw it into the kerosene that is revolution or public opinion. So think about Arab Spring and how the population was like losing, not losing their mind, but like revolting over kind of like just the nepotism and like, the, you know, basically all the people in high ranking positions in the country all had the same last name, not a coincidence. So he talked about taking over the news and how useful it is, which is why I'm telling you about this particular talk, because this right here is an exact example of doing that in practice.
ByteDance on the clock to divest TikTok. Yesterday, President Biden signed a foreign aid package into law that included a provision that could potentially ban TikTok in the U.S. The law gives ByteDance 270 days to sell off TikTok with an optional 90-day extension at the president's discretion. ByteDance plans to file a block on the law on First Amendment grounds. Bloomberg sources say ByteDance sees a TikTok sale as a last resort and expects legal action to at least delay enforcement of any ban. The potential ban would go into effect on January 19th, the day before the next presidential inauguration.
I'm sure that's not a coincidence. Okay, so a couple things here. One, again, hey, you want to talk about, you know how you talk about like LaCroix drinks or whatever, and all of a sudden you start getting ads on your phone for LaCroix? Apparently they've taken it to a new level where we talk about TikTok and chat, and then a story shows up in the pod on TikTok. LOL. Okay, so check this out. There's a member of the community, I think their team Replay, that actually lives in China. Again, I'm taking them at face value, but I love the Simply Cyber community. I assume there's no like bad actors in here. They said, hey, I live in China, and there's this myth that you said yesterday on stream, Jerry, that in America, it's entertainment content and like brain melting content on TikTok. But in China, it's educational content and it's like this weaponization of the next generation. And that's just not true. It is, it's entertaining face melting content in China as well. So just, you know, I was perpetrating now that we have more evidence from someone on the ground in China. So I do appreciate that individual. If you are in chat or you're in the comments on Replay, you know, shout out to you. So basically, this is not a cyber story, but this is mainstream enough that they put it into the news. This ban is interesting. You know, I do TikTok, I guess. Like, I have someone helping me with shorts and reels right now. You guys may have seen an uptick in activity on shorts and reels. And they post to TikTok, but I don't even open TikTok. I suck, right? I'm 40. I'm 44, 45, and like, I just, okay, you guys keep your skitty bop TikTok or whatever you skittily do, Zoomer, whatever. Like, I don't even know the words, right? So, pump the brakes, enjoy your TikTok. But my thing is, I think there is an argument here to be made on, like, this being unconstitutional for First Amendment rights. Guys, if you're going to ban freaking TikTok, what are we doing here? Just imagine, for example, like, what is that freaking platform? Truth? Is it Truth Social? Like, whatever Trump's Twitter thing is, right? I don't use that either. But my point is, that's a very right-leaning social media platform. So, like, if we get a very liberal, left-leaning administration, we're going to ban Truth Social, right? You know, and then vice versa, right? If there was, like, a really, say there was a social platform like Twitter, all right? And all of a sudden, like, Twitter's like talking trash about the current presidential administration or a current senator in a state or whatever. And like, it really takes off. You got to ban that too. So for me, it's not that it's TikTok. It's that it's setting a precedent on making it okay to pick and choose private businesses that really aren't doing anything wrong. It's not like social medias have their own hate speech and stuff like that issues. But my point is, like, this is, I don't know, this has like authoritative regime vibes. You know what I mean? So again, I try not to be political. That's why even the true social stuff, I don't want to get into all that. I've never gone on that platform. I'm a cyber guy who's like into cookouts and and beers. You know what I mean? But anyways, to me, this is like more interesting from a government overreach perspective than it is about it being TikTok. You could swap that and say, I don't know, like Google Drive ban. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Okay.
U.S. sanctions Iranians linked to cyber attacks. The Treasury Department's Office of Foreign Asset Control, or OFAC, issued sanctions against four Iranian nationals. The sanctions allege these individuals participated in cyber attacks against the U.S. government and defense contractors using spear phishing and social engineering. OFAC also issued sanctions against two front companies used by the Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps Cyber Electronic Command. The sanctions freeze all U.S.-based assets. The U.S. State Department also offered a reward of up to $10 million for additional information on any of these sanctioned individuals or organizations.
All right. This was already in the news the other day, because that's how current we are, everybody. We're getting up every day. We're putting in the work every day. And we already covered this one. All right. Here's one thing I'll tell you, right? I actually spent some time talking about this yesterday because talking about, you know, how sanctions on individuals can actually be problematic. One thing I want to tell you, and this came, so many of you may have seen this on social media, LinkedIn. I'm out here in Vegas filming my TV show, and I've got guests coming out of the woodworks. I love the guests. Wait until you guys see, like, who my guests are and the conversations we're having. Bring an extra pair of socks to work that day, because your first pair will be blown off. But I was talking to Jabron Ilyas, who's like this unbelievably senior practitioner over at Mandiant, who, you know, manages like entire regions of the country. But he also still, he's the one who, like, you know, he gets a phone call in the middle of the night and a murdered out SUV is just waiting in outside his house and takes him to like a private jet where they like fly him to like where the problem is. He's still hands on keyboard. And he was telling me this OFAC thing, right? This is legit. If you get on the OFAC list, it's horrifying, because essentially if you're on OFAC, you cannot receive funds like as a ransomware threat actor or as anything threat actor, because OFAC is basically like the death penalty, like SMU in college football. Like, you do not want to be on the OFAC list. So this is essentially the equivalent of like Thor's hammer or Thanos's gauntlet, this OFAC list. So these dudes are on there. Not good, man. The Iranian Islamic Revolutionary Cyber Group. They got skills, brah. So I don't know enough about these people. What I would say is I would go to MITRE ATT&CK. If you don't know MITRE ATT&CK, it's a freaking gift to the information security community. But that's where I go if I hear about a threat actor like Flaming Donkey or the Iranian IRGC CEC group, just to learn more. But basically all their U.S.-based assets are frozen. Guess what? The United States is still a financial superpower in the world. And, you know, you can be operating, you know, out of like a third world country, you can be operating out of a boat in the Atlantic. It doesn't matter. But guys, running operations costs money. It costs money to feed, run internet, buy gear, pay off people, right? Buy weapons, cyber weapons, right? NSO Group isn't a nonprofit. So it costs money. So how do you get money? You either raise it, you steal it, whatever, but you got to store it somewhere. And some people storm in US-based things because it makes transactions faster, right? Well, not anymore, Prowl. Like, literally, welcome to the party, pal. OFAC just dropping hammers on these guys. So I'll tell you what. I don't ever want to go to jail, and I don't ever want to be on an OFAC list. Hell no. All right.
And now a word from our sponsor, Theracode. Research reveals AI-generated code mirrors human-written code security flaws. Even seasoned programmers struggle to spot errors, with incorrect AI-generated answers abound. Theracode knows the stakes. While AI accelerates coding, relying on hunches won't suffice. Trust multifaceted, data-driven insights to mitigate risk from the start. Don't compromise on security. Choose Theracode, your security partner in the AI-driven era of development. To learn more, go to Theracode.com.
All right, y'all. Hey, welcome to the party. For all you first-timers in here, we do this every day at the mid-roll. Before we get into it, Not Only IT with 24 months, 2 years in the squad, Not Only IT. Love it. Thanks for 2 years of great perspectives and fantastic community. Looking forward to two more years. I can't believe, dude, I didn't even set up the squad right away. So like, I can't believe the squad's been in place for that long. Base Case is the original first member of the squad, so he's like the time mark on when we started it, but holy crap. All right, y'all. What's up? If you're getting value from the show, whether it's educational value, entertainment value, do me a favor. Hit that like button if you're on YouTube. Not because I care about vanity metrics, but because it will help trigger the YouTube algorithm and actually enable people to find this. Like, YouTube, basically, it's a game, right? So if people like you who like cyber content say, oh, I like this, like, you know, the thumbs up thing, it'll go tell other people searching for cyber content, like, hey, you might like this, right? Can I just say, I meant to say hi to Jess Bishop yesterday, and I totally flaked on it because I got a million things going on. What's up, Jess Bishop? Guys, hey, really quickly, if you're interested in working in a SOC and want to know more about it, Jess Bishop is definitely your professional to talk to. Great to see Jess. Okay, guys, hey, I want to say shout out and thanks to the stream sponsors. Barricade, Delete Me, keep crushing it. But guys, don't sleep on Anti-Siphon Training. Say, what? Anti-Siphon Training is straight up crushing it, guys. They're here to disrupt the traditional cybersecurity training industry by providing high-quality, cutting-edge education to everyone, regardless of their financial position. They offer their students the opportunity to learn skills, practice what is taught, and engage with a community, much like Simply Cyber's community, in a fun and inclusive way. Go to antisiphontraining.com and check out their upcoming talks. They're starting to creep into GRC, which I freaking love, guys. Hey, I told you, I'm on a mission to make GRC socially acceptable, and apparently we're making progress, y'all, because they have a NIST cybersecurity framework training going right here. Nathan Sweeney. Nathan, I got my eye on you, boy. We're going to have to get together and high five. Definitely. Hey, by the way, go to antisiphontraining.com because John Strand himself, the OG, he's teaching this active defense and cyber deception class. I've taken it. It's 4 days, 4 hours per day, and it's freaking amazing. You learn about honey pots, honey nets, honey tokens. I don't think you learn about honey nets. I don't even know what a honey net is. I don't even know why I said that. But anyways, it's really, really cool. And John gets into the philosophy of venom versus poison and all these other things. If you've taken it, you know what I'm talking about. All right, guys. Can I just tell you, I'm so happy that I hear this song every weekday. I love this song. All right, guys. So Simply Cyber Community Challenge. I believe Frankenator. Is it Frankenator? Jenny Housley's always dropping it in chat, which I genuinely appreciate. Where is it? Who's the squad member? Flakenator. Flakenator. Is Flakenator in chat? Flakenator? Can we get a confirmation on Flakenator? Yes, Flakenator. Tag someone, Flakenator. Okay, so here's the deal. The Simply Cyber Community Challenge is an opportunity for all of you, 420 of you. Hey, 420, you know what I mean? All of you to be able to blow up your LinkedIn professional network and get massive value. Flakenator, please tag someone. If you want to have the baton today, which basically means you go on LinkedIn, you share your story, you use the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge, and then the community just piles on you, and it's awesome. It's awesome. I'm telling you, don't be shy. Dude, networking and stepping into uncomfortable is what you need to do to grow your professional network. I'm telling you, somebody raise your hand, accept the baton, go on LinkedIn. I promise you, you're going to love it. Everybody else, just go on LinkedIn and search for the hashtag Simply Cyber Community Challenge and connect to the people who are posting there. It will be awesome. Too shy, bro, Cacker, in real life? Come on, we got you. We got you. It's awesome. All right, so every single day of the week has a special segment, and Thursdays for years has been Dan Reardon, a.k.a. the Haircut Fish Meme of the Week. He makes a custom meme. Many of you know I give examples of, you know, victims, you know, like SMS phishing victims, the toll booth, the recent toll booth smishing attack. And sometimes I always use avatars. For end users in enterprise, I use Carl. But for like our family and loved ones, I use Aunt Dorothea. And there she is right there, Aunt Dorothea, rocking the mic. My face has been overlaid on Mrs. Doubtfire. So there we go. Also, thank you, Haircut Fish. This is a wonderful, wonderful meme of the week. And just for the edification of the entire Simply Cyber community, I do have an Aunt Dorothea, which is why I always, reach for it. So thanks, Haircut Fish, for introducing Aunt Dorothea to the community. All right, Charlie Montoya has the baton. So Charlie Montoya, thank you so very much. And everybody look for Charlie Montoya's post on LinkedIn later today. If I get a chance, I'll go on there and amplify it, Charlie. All right, let's get back into the news and finish strong, y'all.
A post-attack update from Change Healthcare. After suffering two devastating ransomware attacks in the last 3 months, Change Healthcare reports that 99% of pre-incident pharmacies can now process claims and that payment processing is at 86% of pre-incident capacity. An investigation of the attack remains ongoing. It doesn't expect to have sufficient data to notify all impacted customers for several more months. The company saw significant data exfiltration in the attacks, but reports its investigation didn't turn up any medical histories in impacted data so far.
All right, hold on. So this is an update on Change Healthcare. So what's interesting, guys, is that ransomware attacks, they happen so often and like daily, basically, that they're almost, I mean, they're noteworthy, but they're almost not anymore, which is a sad state of affairs, right? There's a ransomware attack every single day. Like to put it in a fine point on it, I give talks all the time, right? If you didn't know, now you know, okay? I give talks all the time, whether it's to like healthcare institutions, you know, executives, students, like whoever and whatever, I always give talks. But because the audience always changes, the industry, the vertical, et cetera, you know, my deck changes. And literally, I always have like a couple slides that are just placeholders. And when I send the deck, usually they want to see the deck in advance so they can like print it out or bake it into the overall, like, anyways, you send the deck in advance. And they're always like, you're missing slides. And I'm like, no, like, don't sweat it. Like, literally the day of, I'm just going to pull up a news story that happened the day before of an attack that's directly related to whatever the audience is. And they're like, are you sure? And I'm like, yeah, I'm wicked sure. And without doubt, I always have one. That's how common ransomware is or cyber attacks are, which is sad, again. But also, hey, guys, we got job security for days up in here. So Change Healthcare is an interesting story because the impact was so substantial and so societally impacting that literally the threat actor group exited because of the amount of heat that this would introduce. By the way, the threat actor is the same one that did Colonial Pipeline attack a few years ago, which was also got the ire of the U.S. federal government, and which is why they went swiftly after him. By the way, literally the Colonial Pipeline attack is the only ransomware attack I've ever heard of where the victim got their money back. Once the money typically goes to the threat actor, it's gone. They got the money back, which is unprecedented. And then the threat actor group was called DarkSide. They went dark, LOL. They disappeared, and then they resurfaced ultimately as Black Cat Alfie, which is this same threat actor group who's now exiting. So That just indicates the level of impact and severity this particular attack was. James McQuiggan with a super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. If it's a day ends in Y and org gets breached or hit with ransomware, we're fighting the good fight, but we need the leadership, C-suite, board to be technology and security minded. Hashtag job security. Thank you, James McQuiggan. You're 100% right. And may I just point out really quickly, since I'm never one to miss an opportunity, getting the C-suite board to be tech and security minded, that's the role of GRC. GRC people, welcome to the party, pal. Okay, so Change Healthcare, United Health, whatever you want to call it, they are the story of the year as far as I'm concerned right now for how bad it can really get. Guys, there were people with cancer who were having to... Listen, this is real, okay? There were cancer patients who couldn't get their medicine because they basically had to pay cash for it. And guess what? If your medicine costs $14,000, a lot of people don't have 14 grand to just like, oh yeah, no problem, I'll just pay. Do you take cash? No. So do you know what happens if you can't pay for your cancer medicine? You don't get it. That's serious, y'all, okay? There were healthcare institutions that couldn't pay payroll because their rev cycle process wasn't working. They couldn't bill insurance. Insurance couldn't pay them. So they couldn't pay salary. So there were lots of physicians who weren't getting paid. And now you might say, oh, cry me a river, Jerry. Physicians make hundreds of thousands of dollars. What kind of pity do you want me to give them? Yeah, they may make 400 grand because they're really good at dermatology or whatever. But here's the thing. If you aren't getting paid for a month or 6 weeks and you're living paycheck to paycheck, that's another thing that a lot of people don't understand. Just because you make 400 grand a year, there's a lot of people who live beyond their means, even if they make $500,000, right? They drive three Beamers or six Hummers, or they have a $10,000 a month mortgage, like whatever. People make bad financial decisions. So if you don't get paid for a month, 6 weeks, you could lose your house. You could get your car repossessed. You could get evicted. So and that's just the doctors. I mean, nurses, staff weren't getting paid. So this was a massive, massive attack, and one that really shook the industry as far as like, holy shit. I'm sorry, Kennedy. That I didn't mean to swear like that. Yikes. Can we roll the tape back and wipe that? Ugh. Anyways, I'm sorry, that kind of rattled me. But like, basically, this is one of those ones where like, you realize that cyber attacks aren't like for the nerds. They're not just the digital thing. It's not like, oh, like whatever, let the CISO handle that. We've got real work to do. This impacts completely across the board operations, all right? So, and the fact that they got hit with a double ransom, I don't even know. I would love to know if the second attack, the ransom hub one, they ended up paying that. I want to find out. It was such a, like, that was so bullcrap of the threat actors to do that. And another unprecedented thing where a second ransomware threat actor comes in after the fact to squeeze a little bit more value out of the victim.
Ransomware dries out Sweden. The Swedish government-owned retailer Systembolaget holds a monopoly on the sale of alcoholic beverages. One of its critical distributors, Scanlog, reports it suffered a ransomware attack from a group based in North Korea. The company has not announced when it expects to resume normal operations. As a result, Systembolaget warned Swedes that many beers, wines, and spirits could sell out in the country in a matter of days. This won't impact all beverages, but certain brands would likely be unavailable until the distributor resolves the attack.
All right. Yes, ZMF. I'm being corrupted by late night talk show TV. Priceless Pancake with a super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Jerry's cussing mad. Quick, get the sippy cup. Oh my God. Okay. So for everybody who's into like vodka and what's that one, like Sveltka or whatever? I don't even know Swedish liquor is, but apparently, dude, hey, I'm just telling you, threat actors, if you work in the alcohol business, you know, this should uptick your activity. The Duval All right, sorry, Jacksonville, Florida people who are just like, Duval? Like, they come up like prairie dogs. They're like, what? Are we talking Duval? By the way, Duval County is where the Jacksonville Jaguars play, and they're really proud about Duval County, so they say Duval. All right, that's just an explanation on what I just did. The Duval Brewery out of wherever, Belgium or Germany or whatever, they got hit recently. Maybe they're out of Denmark. It doesn't matter. Swedish liquor company's getting hit, so be careful. But you got to remember, here's the deal. Whether it's liquor, beers, ball bearings, printer paper, it's just manufacturing, okay? Like, I know it's newsworthy because it's liquor and everybody's familiar with liquor and the blue bottles and everything, but guys, it's just manufacturing. Manufacturing is it's one of the top two industries hit by ransomware. It was number one for a long time. I think healthcare has actually surpassed it, which is sad. But it's definitely top two, no matter what. And the reason is because, dude, manufacturing, it's there's a direct correlation to if you're not manufacturing product, you're not making money, right? You're only making money if product continues to roll off the assembly line. The second you stop the assembly line, there is a like an air bubble basically in the flow of product going to market, which directly impacts your straight cash, homie. Do we have straight cash, homie? Hold on. Where's my straight cash, homie? Yeah, exactly. James McQuiggan coming in with another super chat. James, you're killing it today.
Did we just become best friends?
It's the Simply Cyber Sippy Cup. Does that make it SC squared or SC2? Liquor, beer, water. It's all manufacturing and disruptive to the supply chain and favorite target. Hashtag Team SC. Hashtag Coffee Cup Cheers. Coffee Cup Cheers. Sippy Cup Cheers to you, James. Thanks for the super chat. Yeah, so I agree. I do like Swedish fish. anyways, like this is, I'm not going to spend any more time on this story because basically if you elicit what's going on here, this is a ransomware attack on manufacturing. And if you're a big vodka drinker, like, you know, I'm not judging, right? If you're an alcoholic or whatever, like if you need liquor, you might want to like stockpile it because you're about to get well, I guess there's like lots of manufacturers out there. It's not like Sweden's cornered the market on vodka. Whatever.
Google Meet adds client-side encryption for non-Google users. The video messaging platform already offered client-side encryption between Google Workspace accounts, but did not provide a secure option for external users. Google says that all data at rest and in transit is now encrypted between calls, giving users direct control of encryption keys and identity services. Workspace admins have to update their configuration settings to open up client-side encryption for external users and can specify which third-party identity partners they will allow. Windows 11.
All right, Google Meet. Hey, I don't know if anybody else is having this problem, but I have been having a problem for like 3 or 4 months with Google Meet, and it happens on the mobile studio as well as the main studio, so it's not my endpoint issue. Google Meet will run, and then all of a sudden, it'll basically, like, I'll lose video, then the call will drop, and then it'll reconnect automatically. I don't know if anybody else is having that problem, but, I dropped an F-bomb earlier in the show? Oh my gosh. I didn't realize that. Yikes. All right, so basically, Google continuing to do security things, offering client-side encryption for non-Google users. Makes sense. People dropping on calls. Google's just making it a little bit more easy, I would argue, for wanting to use Google Meet. Microsoft Teams sucks. I'll just throw that out there. Like, completely unrelated, but kind of related. I don't think that it was necessarily so hard for Google to roll out client-side encryption, simply because you're establishing the connection, right? I will tell you this. I'll tell you this, guys. In the world of information security, i.e. cybersecurity or whatever, aka cybersecurity, there's different domains, right? There's risk, there's SecOps, there's cryptography, right? So crypto is always one of these domains. I will be the first to tell you that nobody is an expert in everything, period, full stop, right? So your imposter syndrome, you can check that at the door. Me personally, I suck at crypto. I suck at the encryption stuff. I understand it enough to be able to do my job, but it's definitely my weakest element of the whole space. So like for a story like this, I look at it, I don't want to pop the hood on this. I don't want to pop the hood and be like, well, what kind of encryption are you using? Is it symmetric algorithm or an asymmetric algorithm? And what if it's asymmetric, who is getting the private key and what type of performance are we looking at here? What's the key size? Are we 128 or are we going all in on 256? Like, I'm not that, you know, the crypto math people, you can have all that. All I want is it an unbreakable, is it AES 256, yes or no, right? Or, you know, and you can use an RC4 stream for a symmetric encryption. If you use asymmetric to initially share the key, right? So anyways, I always tell my cadets, like, I do a lecture on crypto, but I'm always like, I'm so weak at this. So anyways, Google Meet, it's good stuff. And they're continuing to push the fold on security. And shout out to Google and Microsoft. I really appreciate that they're continuing to do security things. It's good.
Start menu ads rolling out. Earlier this month, Microsoft began testing these ads with select Windows Insider builds, but will now roll them out globally. These come in the form of app recommendations for apps in the Microsoft Store. Microsoft says only a limited set of curated developers can buy ads initially. Users can toggle off these ads in their personalization settings for now. This isn't Microsoft's first attempt at this. It tested ads in Windows 11's File Explorer last year. Ask any CISO.
Okay, so I just typed FU in mod chat. What are we doing here? What are we? Microsoft, I see you. Okay, I see you, Microsoft. What are you doing? Don't do this. Don't do this. Have you guys seen the movie Ready Player One? If you haven't seen it, it's a great book. Movie's okay. Listen, there's a scene in it where the bad guy, who's basically like a corporate money-grubbing, you know, jerk, talks about putting on, everybody wears VR in Ready Player One. Like, it's the future. Everyone wears a VR helmet. It's where you go to work. It's where you go to school. It's everything, right? And he, at one point in the movie, he's like, we've discovered that you can put ads on 78% of the viewer screen before seizures start. And he's talking about selling that ad space. And it just reeks of like, ugh, like corporate, like money grubbing, not a nice balance for the end user. It's just completely maxing that out. That's what this is. What are you doing? Yeah, I get it. So they're limiting it to a curated list of developers. So basically threat actors can't get in here. But dude, here's my thing. Here's what pisses me off, okay? I paid for the computer. I paid for the operating system. It's mine. Don't stick ads in there. Don't you stick ads in there, okay? Like, I use Google Mail. I don't pay for it, right? So, okay, you want to stick ads in there? Okay. The second I pay for it, like I'm covering it. The ad money you're making, like, you're charging me, which is why I don't want ads. This is scum, dude. Like this leaves a really crappy taste in my mouth. I don't like it. This isn't cool, man. Plus, it's just a matter of time before a threat actor either inserts themselves in the supply chain or gets, you know, a fake, reviewed developer creds, or Microsoft opens it up to a wider swath of people. And then all of a sudden, my Aunt Orthea is using her computer and she thinks that this is an app she has on her computer already when she launches. This isn't the Windows Store. This is the Start menu. So many end users are going to click the button and think they have an app installed and it's going to take them there. They might buy something that they don't want. They may pay money. Malware might get installed. I don't like this. This is like an oil slick, right? If you're familiar with the Stephen King universe and the Dark Tower series and like the kind of the grubby underlings of the devil character who's like the main bad guy. Like, this feels like I want to take a shower, okay? Not cool, Microsoft. But by the way, can we just for a minute, Hold on 1 second. Just for 1 second, let me do this really quickly, okay? I got to put the mic down because I only have one hand. 1 second. Okay. According to Fortune 500 rankings, Microsoft ranked 14th in 2022, okay? Microsoft right now, as of today, is ranked, oh my God, freaking, see, whatever. Microsoft's ranked like number 3 most innovative company. Can we get, here, Fortune 500 list 2024. Let's find where Microsoft is. Microsoft, way to go, Microsoft. You're at 13. Here's what I'm telling you, or here's my point. Microsoft is the 13th, like, wealthiest, most valuable company in the world, essentially. Why, like, why are you picking peanuts out of elephant poop here by pushing ads into a start menu, man? Suck it. I swear to God, this is like the brainchild of some, you know, product manager, mid-tier person who's looking to get a promotion in 2024 who's like, oh, I can increase revenue. This is gross, dude. Suck an egg, man. I'm not into that. I'm not into it. I think it's a bad look, Microsoft. All right, guys. Hey, check it out. Really quick before you peace out, if you had to go, I just want to let everybody know that literally at 9:30 a.m. Eastern time, so in 33 minutes from now, we as a crew are going to go over and watch the premiere. I just released this video. It's for the Flare platform. If you haven't heard about Flare, I'm telling you, Gary Ruddle's been talking about it. Jason Haddix has been talking about it. I love it. It's a really, really cool tool, really powerful. So I'm going to premiere this video. I think it's going to be wicked fun. I hope you can join me on the stream. If you were here, we have no Simply Cyber live today. Normally, every Thursday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time, we're doing the lives. But I'm in Vegas filming my show, and I can't do a live, guys, okay? So that's what's up. Guys, thank you so much for being here. If you want to hang out, we're going to be doing jawjacking in just a minute. Jawjacking is basically a 30-minute ask me anything. If you have any questions at all, whether it's career, certs, you know, like where's the sippy cup, where can you get it, anything, hang out. It's all about good times. The community is phenomenal. There's 437 people in here, usually about 300 stay. Much love, guys, so much. Be good. I'm Jerry, your chat. Until next time, stay secure. Let's flip it over to jawjacking. All right, hold on. I don't have the cool glasses or anything. Mods were asking me to put on sunglasses today, but we're not doing that either. All right, guys, hey, welcome to jawjacking. Basically, this is a 30-minute ask me anything where we hang out and do stuff. My shorts are riding up, so give me a second. I shouldn't see that high up on my thigh while I'm sitting in a chair. All right, I am in Vegas. I am filming my TV show Late Night with Jerry. We got shooting today. It's wicked fun. All right. Hey, what's up, Jamie Fleck? Good to see you. I had gotten asked earlier, where did I get this sippy cup? Let me see if I can pull that up for y'all. And I'll let chat decide if I chose incorrectly. If I chose Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, if I chose poorly. Here, let me look really quickly. Here we are. All right, how do I humana. Okay, so here is the coffee cup, okay? This is my sippy cup. Now look at the colors I could have chose from. Right? I could have gotten this one. Hello, computer, give me graphics. I could have gotten this one, right? But to me, that's kind of basic, right? That kind of blends in. I could have gotten this one. I thought about this one for a hot minute. And I was like, well, I mean, if I'm going to be a bear, I bet I should be a grizzly. If I'm going to be a bear, I should be a grizzly. So I went for this one. Plus, like, look at this picture, right? Look at this guy. This guy's using a French press. He's pouring. That dude doesn't look like he's eating from a sippy cup, right? It doesn't look like a sippy cup. It looks pretty diesel. So I went with it. So this is what, you know, like, come on. Maybe I have to hold it like this, right? Like, maybe I hold it like this and it looks less sippy cuppy. Here's the thing. I need my coffee when I'm on travel. I have a full French press. This is my travel one. Thank you for the gift, CJ. My travel French press. And I need a coffee cup that can travel well and doesn't do heat transfer. This thing is a scalding hot cup of coffee and I can hold it. Trashy travel mugs, they transfer the heat so you burn your hand. And I'm not into that. No one's into that, okay? All right, let me look. Mods are dropping chat stuff in here. Let's see what the chat says. Simply Cyber question. Okay, so B-Sec is saying I should got the blue because it would have matched Simply Cyber. Okay, I totally swung and a miss. Jerry, what channel will the show be on? It will initially air on Night TV Plus. Night TV Plus, I believe, William airs. All the information will be made available. My understanding is that the show will premiere in August. That's my understanding. I think it's going to align. There might be like a premiere. I'm not sure. Here's the thing. At one point, I said something on stream about the show, and the studio did not like that I said that. I had a talking to. So now I'm like gun shy to share anything with the show because I basically don't want to. I don't want to step in that pile again, frankly. So I don't know what I'm allowed to share and what I'm not allowed to share, honestly. But I do know that the show will be on Night TV. Leatherneck Cyber Warrior says, "Let the explicits fly. You sound like a real Marine, brah." Crayons flying out my mouth. wear glasses in Vegas. All right. I do have sunglasses. They're all the way over there. I can't get them, though. John V with the super chat. Thanks, John, so much for the super chat.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep. Holy crap. John, I have an interview opportunity tomorrow with one of the big four. Do you have any tips for me going in? Hell yes, sir. All right. So congratulations, first of all, John. Big four, if you guys don't know, they're the big four accounting firm like KPMG, Deloitte. Let's see. I did work for Big Four early in my career. I mean, I guess I would say, you know, dress for the part, right? Typically, it's more professional, right? They take themselves seriously. Be deliberate in your answers. Definitely mention the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief when they ask you about staying current. You know, if you want, remember that those businesses are mostly, they're almost exclusively like client-based businesses. So you may want to ask them about, like, when they say, do you have any questions for us? Be like, oh, hey, you know, like, is there a particular engagement that you're thinking of putting me on or this position is related to? Who's the client? For another thing, John, that I would say is like, I always like, not just saying like, oh, I attend the Daily Cyber Threat Brief, but like think of stories, like go through the last couple days of stories, John, and like think about the stories, like Change Healthcare. That's a perfect one. Like everybody knows about the Change Healthcare. Whoever's interviewing you knows about the Change Healthcare, right? So don't just say like, oh, I know about Change Healthcare. But if you can weave interesting things about the Change Healthcare attack into the interview, you're going to demonstrate that, yes, you are, you know, paying attention and you are, engaged, right? So I hope that helps. I hope you get the job. I hope you come back and you're like, got the job. And then we can be like, that's right. That's right. I love playing that sound effect because we reserve that for when people get jobs and break into the industry. All right. Question from Jay and Michelle on the TikTok ban. Is it an attack on 1A versus spying on Americans from a foreign regime? Oh, is it attack on the First Amendment versus spying on Americans? Yeah, well, here's the thing. If I had to guess, I think it's because of spying on Americans and the contentious China versus America. I mean, basically, again, I don't really like to get political, but I will share this. I believe that essentially right now the United States is the first world power, right? Like most of the world's on U.S. dollar, and we've been kind of like leading the charge for, you know, basically since industrialization, right, in the early 1900s. And China's making a play for becoming reigning supreme, right? They're investing heavily in AI, heavily in technical advantages. And the TikTok thing is just seen as that. So it's the same reason why the United States is strangling semiconductor technology being imported into China or exported into China, depending on how you look at it. It's because it's like this fight. And I swear to God, that's why the TikTok thing is. So I think the First Amendment is a convenient way to wrap it. And I do think that it is a legitimate concern. But I think it's going to happen, frankly, because I don't believe in the Illuminati, but I do think that people in powerful positions talk to each other and they choose things that align with their agenda. Again, we're getting way too political, so I'm going to move on. David P. says, Jerry, can you please share the link to your Flair video? Oh, yeah, sure. So here's the Flair video that we're going to be watching together on stream. Give me 1 second. All right, I just dropped it in chat. So if people want to, like, when it's time to pivot, we can all go over there. Okay. Let's see. ZMF says, Jerry, y'all need to be doing a live stream while filming the Late Show. Yeah, dude, they're taking so much behind the scenes film and footage. It's really, really cool. If you went on LinkedIn, hold on, let me share my screen. And dude, we should all, like, no, you don't have to do this, but I'm just telling you. I'm just telling you, like, I would strongly recommend this. Okay, hold on, hold on. I got a lot going on. Check this out. This is my LinkedIn feed right here. Let me see if I can find it. Right here. Okay, I'm going to drop a link in chat. This guy right here is Jabron Ilias. This guy's awesome. This guy is awesome. Okay, first of all, I'm going to drop a link in chat. Okay, he was one of my guests. Please connect with this guy. Tell him Simply Cyber sent you, okay? This guy is freaking amazing. I love this guy. He's going to come on Simply Cyber Live too, okay? This guy's got a million stories, okay? But he took some photos from behind the scenes. So, like, this is on stage. So the whole set is green screened, and it's all virtual. And, dude, when you see what the final product looked like, it's insane. It's insane what the studio is able to do. It looks nothing like this. So there's Jabron. Here's the set taken from behind. You can see the director's space over here. That's Eric Capuano in the A-hole chair there. And Jabron's in the B-hole chair. It's me, you know, late nighting it up. And then, you know, there's what the studio will look like. And then here's a director's shot. This is part of the crew. Jabron's up in the front. We got Ali Knight, Mel Knight, Steve Hoyt, myself, Mariah's there. So, yeah, it's really, 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 really been fun. It's been fun. It's been stressful. I've been working my tail off, but it's been fun. All right. I tried to sign up for Night TV. ZMF, does that mean that you didn't get to? Like, is it not work? Can you not sign up for it? I signed up last year. It worked. They actually lowered their prices, which is nice. Louv. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, that's not... that's private chat. Yeah. Yeah, I worked at Booz Allen. If you guys didn't know, I worked at Booz Allen for probably, I don't know, 6 years. Great experience. I loved Booz Allen. I actually forgot. I worked at two Big Fours. So I worked at KPMG They forked it to Bearing Point, but KPMG Consulting was my first big boy job, and then I worked at Booz. So I'm a regular stuff shirt. Although, you know what I hate? I'll tell you what I hate. I hate having to wear a suit. I used to have to wear a suit and tie to work every day. Do you know how much that sucks? I'm sure, like, women are like, bro, come on. But I hate it. I think of a suit and tie as a costume. Like, I had to put a costume on every day. What the hell? All right, here we go. Have you ever considered a security engineering-related role? I mean, I was a security architect for a couple years, if that counts. I mean, I love GRC, but I have two computer science degrees. I do understand technology. I know it looks like I'm an idiot up here, but I do engineering type stuff. But where I am in my career now, Roman C, here's the reality. The further up you go in your career, the further away from the keyboard you get, if that makes sense to people. You will have a decision point in your life where you have to decide if you're going to stay on the keyboard or continue up. And you can be a senior specialist still on the keyboard, but in reality, you will hit a ceiling if you don't get away from the keyboard, which is difficult for people, honestly. It can be troubling. It's a very difficult transformation period in many technical people's career. Carrie's saying, I'm trying to do a virtual volunteering with companies, and it looks like I have one company that I will start. Why is it so hard to get people's attention? I don't know, Carrie. Just, you know, I guess what I would say, Carrie, is like, you know, be organic, look for opportunities, you know. You know, you can lead a horse to water, right? But you can't take the horse by the back of the neck and shove its head into the water. That will be ill-received. Okay, Segun Ayudel says, what are the likely interview questions a company can ask on Prisma Access Palo Altos? Oh, wow. Okay. So this is more of a question, I reckon, for BSEC. But from a PA perspective, I mean, you may get very technical questions around, you know, like, have you, like, it depends on what level role you're interviewing for, right? Are you interviewing for a role where you're going to manage the firewall? So here's the deal. You might get troubleshooting questions like, hey, a firewall rule's not working, or people are complaining that traffic isn't flowing. How would you troubleshoot this? Like, I feel like a lot of engineering-focused questions are around how would you troubleshoot this, or how would you investigate this issue? You might also get something like, I don't know, unfortunately. I was never a firewall engineer. I've configured firewalls and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm really ill-equipped to basically answer that question for you. So if BSEC or someone drops it in mod chat, I will gladly relay it. But I would think it would be more around troubleshooting firewall rules, potentially around how do you submit, evaluate that. If you have multiple firewalls, like in different areas, different ways, different organizations, how would you manage them? Have you ever worked in Panorama? Stuff like that. Okay. So Prisma is just orchestration in the cloud for the most part. Okay. So FedEx is saying, have you ever used AI to read a SOC report rather than reading the whole page yourself? Yeah, I mean, technically, yeah. I mean, so let me show you guys this. I don't know if this is what you mean, FedEx, but like basically, you know, so like say this story right here. You can't see it on stage, but I have a Google Chrome extension called Summarize and Chat. It's a ChatGPT one. You can see when I click it, basically ChatGPT will read the news article and then basically pull out a summarized version of it. This isn't even that well summarized, but I do use this from time to time. I wonder if ChatGPT is going to puke on this story like I dunked on Microsoft. But I use this. I don't know if this is what you're talking about, but for me, the way that I like using AI, I use AI to save time, right? Some of you know this, some of you may not know this. My time is arguably the most valuable asset I have. I have very little time. I try to do lots of things. And time is important. Like, even, like, guys, here's the thing. Like, I get asked, like, literally, I don't think you guys, like, I get asked probably, like, 40, 50, 60 times a day. Like, people will email me their resume and ask me to do, like, a full resume review. They'll email me their LinkedIn profile and ask me to roast it. They'll email me questions. They'll email me, and I just don't have time to respond to, you know, DMs like that. I respond to some sometimes, but I don't. So what I do is I say, oh, hey, for 30 minutes a day, I will answer any questions that come through. And that to me is the trade-off. It's like I'm taking 30 minutes and giving it, but I can't. So anyways, time is super valuable. So for me, I use AI as a time saver, whether it's doing threat intel analysis, whether it's a huge, like, executive order and trying to distill out what are the key facts of that, whether it's I'm doing a LinkedIn post, right? Maybe I'm doing a LinkedIn post. I'll tell ChatGPT, like, hey, I want to do a LinkedIn post on this. I want to make sure that it does this, this, and this. And I'll hit the button, and ChatGPT will give me a LinkedIn post. Then I bring that into, like, Notepad, and I modify it and edit it, and I make it my voice and what I want to highlight. And then I post it, right? So ChatGPT AI, it's amazing as far as saving time goes. And I really think, I've been telling my cadets this, and I'll tell everybody in the world this. If you are not using AI, you are going to be left behind. In my opinion, AI for personal productivity, it's like the internet in the early 2000s. Like, can you imagine somebody not using the internet right now? They'd be hosed, right? You have to use it or you'll be screwed. Okay. Oh, Prism does CASB? All right, we'll see. I feel like CASB is like one of those things where, like, it was a good idea. CASB's Cloud Access Security Broker. It's basically how organizations can manage their workforce using SaaS apps in a controlled way. I've seen CASB. I've never seen it implemented well, but it can be done, okay? What VPN do you recommend? Had ExpressVPN, but told not good. I use Proton VPN. They're not an affiliate. I don't get paid. I don't have a link or anything like that. I don't have a discount code. I use Proton VPN. I think Proton as a business has always been super legit, super straightforward, super transparent, and super focused on privacy for individuals. So for that, they get my business. All right, hold on. Let me sippy cup. Ugh, gets a little bitter near the end. Ooh. All right, Suzuki. I'm sorry, Suyukti. Suyukti says, "What are some ways to evaluate the security of a Google Chrome extension?" That's a very good question. So, it's very difficult, right? You know, there's the reviews. Those can be fraud. There's, you know, social proof. If you would like, what you can do if you want to go real deep in the weeds is you can set up a controlled instance of a computer, turn off as much crap as you possibly can, install the extension that you're interested in, turn on Wireshark, capture traffic, use the extension, turn off Wireshark, look at what's going out on the extension, see if there's anything weird going on, see if there's any polling going on. I mean, if you want to get hardcore, you know, you could look for beaconing coming out of it and stuff like that. Also, I don't know, I don't even know what language Chrome extensions are written in. I mean, if you really wanted to get next level, you could disassemble it, or you could do analysis on it, like software analysis. You could disassemble it. You could, again, I don't know if Chrome extensions are compiled. So in the world of, like, software, there's a couple different softwares, but compiled or interpreter, like the two main ones, compiled meaning you put it through a compiler and the output is bytecode, which you can't read as a human. And then there's interpreted, which is like scripts, like Python, PowerShell, Bash, etc., which we as humans can read. Compile programs run faster. Usually they're reserved for like binaries, executables where you need that performance. Interpreted programs, performance is less of an issue. So I hope that answers your question. That was kind of a cheesy answer. Reed Holbert says, hold on, upgrading Jeff says, would it be better to use Firefox instead of Chrome? I mean, to me, Firefox and Chrome are one and the same. I understand, I'm a Chrome user. I understand that I have traded off some privacy by using Chrome because they basically soak up everything. But there's two things. If you're really serious about privacy, you should use Brave. Brave browser is the option if you're serious about privacy. Many people don't know this, but like basically all DNS resolvers, like safe browsing lists, like, you know, websites that are banned or whatever that you can't get to because of safe browsing, Google controls that list. Okay. So like Google's already kind of like puppet mastering behind the scenes anyways. I do my email through Google. I've just basically closed my eyes, put my arms across my chest like this and done a trust fall into Google. So to me, Firefox used to be like the people's browser, but I feel like Firefox has gone away from that. In fact, is Firefox even still related to the Mozilla Foundation? For some reason, I feel like Firefox isn't. I might be wrong on that, but so that's a good question for ChatGPT. I only have one hand, so it's really difficult for me to do stuff on stream and bring up that stuff. But I feel like Firefox is not part of Mozilla anymore. Why do you use the podcast that you do for the news each morning? I listen to them and others. I'm curious if you consider them the best or you just like them, Flakenator. So Flakenator's talking about CISO series cybersecurity headlines. So I choose CISO series cybersecurity headlines simply because it is a 6-minute show and it's basically objective summaries of news stories. There's 8 stories. So other news shows I've heard, they typically insert subjective pieces, which is what I'm doing with the Simply Cyber Daily Cyber Threat Brief. So I find that the CISO series enables me to stand on top of it without it conflicting with what I'm doing with the show. I will tell you, Flakenator, we are very close as a Simply Cyber crew to launching our own podcast audio and curating our own stories. And I'll tell you why. So CISO series, at least once a week, if not once a day, we'll have stories that are not cybersecurity related. They will miss a story that is like breaking news. And that's unfortunate. So we've been talking internally, the mod team and I, about doing our own feed. I wanted to do it at the beginning of the year. I thought when I launched Cyber 101, I'd have free time. But the TV show has taken on way more effort than I expected, which is for better or worse. But what I will tell you is, besides the Vulnerability Management Analyst Masterclass, once I get back from Vegas, I have to do a talk in June for the state of Georgia. But besides that, I'm like free through Black Hat DEF CON, like end of. So I'm going to have some time. And I know Eric Taylor has done some work. It's basically we understand what the workflow is going to look like. And it's just a matter of operationalizing it. So look for that pretty soon. Okay. Thoughts on the Cubes OS for privacy if you want to go all out. Cyber Eddie, I haven't used Cubes before, so I don't know. If anyone in chat has a thought about Cubes OS, I would love it. Hey, let me share something with you guys now that I know. I just remembered this. Are you studying for Security Plus? Do you like good times? Are you fun? Check this out. Tonight and every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, Jesse Johnson, aka the Cosmic Cowboy, is doing a live stream that really, really is awesome. It helps people study for and become epic at Slain Security Plus certification exam. Tonight at 7 p.m., Jesse is having DJ BSEC. If you guys know BSEC from Thursday's AMAs, you know how awesome BSEC is. You know how awesome Jesse is. They're having a perfect storm confluence of the two of them tonight on stream. So mark your calendar, 7 p.m. Eastern time. It's a really great show. It's live. It's educational. It's interactive. It's dang fun. Go check it out. Subscribe. Congratulations to Jesse for delivering that public service to everybody, too. I think it's just freaking epic. ZMF says cubes is cool. All right, what else we got? Casually Joseph's going to be there, too? Holy damn. All right, so hold on. Let's do this. Slay Security Plus tonight at 7 p.m. Today is Thursday, April 25th. At 7 p.m. Eastern time today, Slay Security Plus is going to go full hog, going hard, YOLOing it. Insert your Skitty Bop Gen A language here, Zoomers. Casually Joseph, DJ Bisek, Jesse Johnson. Guys, it's going to be lit. It's going to be lit. It's going to be hot fire. It's going to slay. What other Gen Z terms can I throw at you? It's going to be dripping with Riz. I know I used both of those incorrectly, and that's okay. All right, what else we got, y'all? Yes, dare we say it will slay? I spit hot fire. Thank you, Kimberly from the couch. Kimberly can fix it, but Kimberly from the couch. All right. Hey, guys, I got to give a shout out to all of you. 308 of you still hanging for jawjacking. Super dope. We've got the We've got the Flair premiere happening in just a couple minutes. I'm going to drop soon because the trailer is going to start in a hot second. Giat! That's right, Phil Gafford. Giat! What? Upgrading Jeff. I'm just a high energy dude. Are you kidding me? I love cybersecurity and I love helping people. And I get to do it for a living. Are you joking me? Like, let's go. It's easy to be full energy and up and running, bro. Upgrading Jeff. I'm living the dream, son. I get to hang out with 300 awesome people every single day. I get to help people crush their career goals. I get to celebrate when people get jobs. The mod team is freaking amazing. Eric Taylor, BSEC doing the jawjackings on Tuesday, Thursday. Casually Joseph and JMod queuing me in on Gen Z terms. I love life. I'm married to a wicked hot woman. I love my wife. I got kids that are cool. I'm loving it. Long time listener, first time live. What's up, Frog? Good to see you. I've done my Google Cyber and 2SEC Plus courses. Mike Myers, Messer. Still don't feel comfortable dropping 350 on SEC Plus. Can't commit any advice. Yeah, Frog. You know what, man? I know it sucks, but I'm telling you. Set the date. Take the cert. Once you put it on the calendar, you will absolutely, it'll become real. It'll become real. If you're doing all these things, I'll tell you what, Frog, what you should do is go to Slay Security Plus tonight. They're doing domain 3 implementation, right? See how you do. Take practice exams. Commit to it. I'm telling you, of all the certs, the Security Plus is the one that really does have return on investment for industry. All right. Sweet System says, know how to add that extra stream of income for you. Spin up a recruiting firm to place your job seekers at companies. You already have the feed of job seekers. Oh, yeah, maybe. You know, I'm friends with a really great professional named Deidre Diamond. She runs CyberSN. I've tried a couple times, but, you know, I'm kind of like Black Hills. I suck at capitalism. Like, I mean, I want to make money to facilitate my financial goals and provide for my family, but I'm not trying to, like, drive a gold Bentley or something up in here. You know what I mean? All right, hey, guys, it looks like the stream has started. Go to the pinned chat if you want. I'm going to end the stream. I'm not even going to do the outro. Let's go. Come on, Flare.io. Guys, I'm Jerry, your chat. Thank you so very much. Go over to the live premiere right now. We're going to raid our own channel. Be well. Have a great day. I will see you in the Flare premiere. Until next time, stay secure.